Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, hey, Marky, it might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Friday edition. The Packers Bears tomorrow night from frigid, windy Soldier Field. We'll get you ready with all of our traditional preview stuff, although the game is one day earlier edition. The dream is over. The Badgers fall in five sets to number one seeded Kentucky. It'll be Kentucky and Texas A&M for the national championship edition.
It just means more.
You guys in your SEC love, there's no doubt about that. And of course, I'm excited to go to Chicago. What do I have to try and get done while I'm down there before I cover the game? It's been a while. It's been a while since I've been down to Chicago. Edition. I don't have to pay royalties on that, do I?
Nope, you're good.
I'm Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on the all-new, all-redesigned, all-free, and all-customizable ESPN Wisconsin app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson's in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios after his long and ultimately disappointing evening with Badgers volleyball. And from his undisclosed location, he is the Packers Hall of Famer. He is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
I'm disappointed. Disappointed. I thought the volleyball team had everything kind of cleared out, and we should be playing in a national championship on Sunday, and we're not. So I'm disappointed.
Did you watch first serve to final point?
We watched
coverage?
All of it. Watched all of it. Eleanor is big into volleyball. She was loving it, and she got her national championship shirt out after the first set. You know, thinking we were going to get back there, and we played a god-awful second set, and that's what did us in. So I love the resolve of the fifth set. We fell way behind and fought and scrapped, but this team was good enough to win a national championship, and we didn't get it done, and that's sad, disappointing, and so I'm kind of bummed today.
They win the third set, then lose the fourth set. I didn't know this.
I'll tell you what. Kentucky was rattled on rattled. We absolutely throttled them. And then we dumped, like, it felt like we dumped 15 serves in the net in the second set. Jesse, you did all the stats. You're Johnny Volleyball. How many unforced errors and missed serves did we have in that second set?
In the second set alone, I would have to check. They gave up, it was plus eight to Kentucky behind the service line between aces and service errors. Kentucky got eight extra points in that match overall.
We just threw
last
it
night
to them.
Yeah.
And by the way, we didn't let them get anything going in the first. I think it was – I thought the broadcast was great. They were talking about how they didn't get any – every time they served, we side-outed them. We were Federer sitting there. Everything had cleared up. We weren't going to beat Nebraska. Nebraska's better than us. Everything's lined up, and we don't get it done. I'm just bummed. I'm disappointed. I wanted to put another national championship over in the halls over at Monroe Hall, but it didn't happen. So here we go.
You're really going to do that and not deliver a Robin Soderling reference in there? Like, I wanted to get Robin Soderling one more run here. Today.
We've done enough Robin Soderlings.
Okay, all right.
It reminded me of when the Packers lost to the 49ers in the playoffs a couple of years ago in San Francisco, Jordan Love's first year, where you felt like after beating Stanford and Texas, it was almost it felt kind of like a house money type feel because they weren't necessarily expected to be the Final Four team this season compared to some past iterations of the team.
Is Collier the best player in the country?
She is one best of the hitter? Four finalists for the National Player of the Year Award.
Yeah. Let's not try and act like we're Johnny's underdogs here. We're not.
No.
We're a juggernaut. And we have the best setter is back. Charlie Fribringer is an absolute stud.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
She is just unbelievable.
Yeah. Career best night last
night. Best setter.
Yeah.
Hey, best setter, best hitter in the game. We go through and beat Texas on the road. Like, everything is lined up. Don't give me this, we're an upstart group. No, we should have won a national championship this year. And I think everybody knows it. That's why it stings. I would not have said that. If Nebraska was in this, I wouldn't have said that. But they're not.
We should be playing on Sunday. Yeah.
Yes. That's all. And it's a bummer. It's an absolute bummer.
Why? I did not know this. I'm not sure why I didn't know it, but I didn't.
I don't know. That second set it was brutal.
6-0 run for Kentucky. Wisconsin was up 20-18. Kentucky goes up 24-20, and then they end up winning the set. Yeah.
Yeah, but Kentucky, Jesse, you watched it all and did your post game on it. They were rattled. Like, Kentucky had no answers for us, and then we just handed it to them.
We punched them in the first set. 25-12 you see against mid-majors.
They were ready to be knocked out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was KO City.
They were rattled. They were out of system. They were not looking good, and then they ended up finding
their
rhythm.
This reminds me more of that Monday night game when Denny Green said, "We let him off the hook!" Because that's what we did. We let them off the hook. They were who we thought they were. Good team, couple good hitters. But we let them off the hook, and we know it. Jesse, is that a fair assessment of how that played?
Yes, I agree with the dogs. Yeah, it was
All right.
tough night for Wisconsin volleyball because it was a great season. The wins against Stanford and Texas were remarkable. The run at the end of the year when Charlie Ferberger came back healthy. Mimi Collier set a single-season record for kills at the University of Wisconsin. Yep. Like, Carter Booth.
We had all the horses.
Got over 600
Charlie
blocks.
Being healthy and being back.
Yeah.
So, correct me if I'm wrong. Right now, as we sit here, Wisconsin volleyball is the Green Bay Packers of the University of Wisconsin. Is that a fair assessment? Like, if they don't get a championship, we're disappointed. Is that fair?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
It is fair.
We can move it along. I'm really disappointed. I'm very disappointed.
Why do they only play to 15 in the fifth set instead of 25 when all the other games are played to 25?
Ask the volleyball expert. I don't know. Because I'm sure they're tired.
So I thought that I'd seen it with Sydney's matches in her volleyball career. When I covered volleyball, they didn't have the first to 25 scoring. You had to side out people and score points when you were serving, which
made so boring.
Imagine trying to do your pregame shows during that era when you really don't know how long it's going to take before you're on the air. But why 15? Why would the fifth set? Are we tired? Like, come on! Like, this is for a berth in the national championship. I thought maybe regular season, fine, play to 15 in the fifth set. But with the national title in the balance, we don't play to 25? Why?
As with most things, I think it's a rule that's been shifted over time to cater to television and for timing of,
you know,
of a
match. Oh, yeah, nobody, more drama.
Nobody would have loved
points.
To have watched the last 10 more points
right.
of that. No, that'd be terrible.
If they played at 25 in the fifth last night, you think Wisconsin wins?
Yep.
Felt like they had the momentum storming back the way they did. Yes. Again, I'm just asking. I'm not blaming the rules for them not advancing. They deserve the blame themselves for the second set. My point is that when you get to a point where it's that nip and tuck, I would have liked to have seen it go to the same number of points that you play all the other sets to. I don't know if that's unreasonable or not, but that was my...
I don't mind. I don't mind this. This stuff drags on. That was a long match last night. Poor Jelly had to get up and work again this morning, so I don't mind the fact. We all know what the rules are. You got to win by two, so I don't have a problem. I'm not going to jump in Jason's camp on that. 15's fine in the fifth
okay.
set.
I'm okay being in the camp by myself.
You're an entertainment. You want 25 NFL games. You just want to make sure you keep making a living writing and scribing and being entertained. I get it. I still look at things from a player's safety and player health standpoint, and that's okay, too. We can look at things from different perspectives.
Do you still look at – really? I feel like
– No, I want to be entertained.
Yes,
if it's just analyst stuff,
all right.
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify. You do want to be entertained nowadays in your analyst life, no doubt.
For sure.
And fan life. All right, we need to get ready for Packers-Bears.
Only loss that I could say is more difficult was when we blew the lead at home back in Lauren Carlini's days when we had that. And Jesse, you're the volleyball expert. We were up two sets to love at the Fieldhouse. I can't think of another loss that's worse than what we saw last night when we should have won. That's all. Let's move it along because this is making me sadder and more dejected. Last night was a good night for the G&G. I thought it was a good night. I wanted the Seahawks to win in order. I don't want the Rams to have a home field. I want them to have to go through the gauntlet. And I think last night is going to force them to go through the gauntlet. So I don't think Green Bay is going to get the one seed regardless. But I do think if they win Saturday, we're going to get the two seed. And that means the only place we'd have to go is more than likely going to be Seattle or San Francisco. And if that's the case, I think both of those are doable.
If you were too enraptured by the Badgers volleyball five-set defeats against number one-seeded Kansas, the Seattle Seahawks playing at home win in overtime over the Los Angeles Rams 38-37. The game goes to OT tied at 30. The Rams score a touchdown. The Seahawks then score a touchdown and get the two-point conversion. And they win 38-37.
I'll say this, Jell, or Jay. The entertain me crowd on the overtime, you guys are right. Now, nobody cared about player safety on it where you had to have if it was a touchdown or not. But this was entertaining. This NFL overtime... They got it right from an entertainment standpoint. The NFL overtime is now the king of the crop. It is the best because everybody gets the football, and now Seattle did it exactly right. They got to go second. They knew what they needed. They got the two-point conversion. And while we're out there and have players are playing an extra 25 or 30 snaps when everybody's dog-tired on 4 days' rest, everybody was entertained last night. I can guarantee you that, including myself. That's for sure. They got it right. The overtime is right.
So, what did it take to get you to come around? Because you, of all the things you are vehement about, and God knows there's a lot of them, that one ranks right up there as one.
No. Yeah, don't get it twisted, Jay. I am still of the belief your defense
What's with the J today?
I don't know. I'm in a good mood. I'm trying to just pop out. I still believe your defense needs to make a stop. I still believe that. And if the field goal, I never had a problem. Field goal, the other team gets the ball. I've never had an issue with that.
Okay.
It was if you give up a touchdown, that should be ball game. But the fact that we have now just come to grips and it is about entertainment, I've come on board with that. And that was super entertaining. And now their strategy, the coin toss doesn't matter anymore, but the coin toss matters almost as much because now Seattle gets to go second. They get four downs, not three. Mm-hmm. So it's not really fair. What happened to the Rams last night? It's not really fair. It's not. But nobody cares because we're entertained. And like the old Romans in the gladiator days, a lot of that stuff wasn't fair, but it was entertaining. So that's where we're at. And it was entertaining, which is what the job of sports is.
I always thought one of the greatest gladiator victories belonged to Robin Soderling. So why is this so good for the G&G? Explain, because you'd rather, if you are trying to get to the Super Bowl, you would rather go through Seattle than Los Angeles? Or because Angeles has a more difficult road now than the Rams would have had they had home field?
Yeah, I think the Rams with their veteran quarterback and their veteran, and obviously Devontae's hurt, I don't know if they can go through a three-game gauntlet. Like, I don't know if anybody's going to be able to. I think somebody might. I think Green Bay, if they can win tomorrow, is positioned really well to do it. I just think while Seattle is a much tougher venue, I'd much rather play Sam Darnold and Mike McDonald, which I think, I don't know if, how many of our fans know Seattle's coach? If I didn't say McDonald, would you have known the coach's name?
I would, because the Packers played him last year, so I would have known that. But
I learned it this year. I did not know it last year.
Okay. He's not a known guy, but he's obviously done a nice job. John Schneider obviously has done it. But I would much rather play Sam Darnold than Matthew Stafford. And Mike McDonald, Sean McDonald, whatever McDonald,
compared to
Sean McVay,
sure.
I'd much rather play them. Now, having to go to Seattle would be tough, but Seattle can, as we've seen, anybody can get beat. Seattle is a lot more flawed of a team to me than the Rams. So the Rams, having to run the gauntlet in order to get there, and then, by the way, having to come to Lambeau, if, again, we win tomorrow, I like our chances a heck of a lot better than if they could sit home, smoke a stogie, take the week off, take a beat, get everybody healthy, and then only have to win two games in a controlled environment. I love this a lot more from a Packer fan standpoint than had the Rams won last night. Basically, if they won last night, this was a Rap City USA on the one seed. Now the one seed has some serious fluxness to it.
The flux capacitor. So as of right now, as we get ready for tomorrow night, the Seattle Seahawks and the Los Angeles Rams have both clinched playoff berths. Yep. Seattle leads the West and has the number one seed as of now at 12-3. The Bears would be the 2 seed and the NFC North champions at 10-4, but the winner tomorrow night exits Soldier Field, leading the NFC North with 2 games remaining in the season. Philadelphia 3, Tampa Bay at an unimpressive 7-7 would win the South and be the 4 seed. Rams the 5, 49ers the 6, and right now, at this moment, the Green Bay Packers would be the 7 seed. In the hunt, is that what they do in the graphic when they show the playoff picture during
NFL
games?
Yeah, the only other team. So here's the deal. Carolina and Tampa, whoever wins that last game is going to win their division more than likely and will be the 4. And then unless Detroit runs the table, they'll still need, I believe, the Packers to beat the Bears in order to get in. So I think the 7 teams, unless the Bears fill their britches, the 7 teams we know. It's just a matter of how it's going to get seeded out.
Detroit, as Mike McCarthy would pronounce it, 8-6. They are sitting in the number 8 spot as of right now. All right, we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Are we?
Because the Packers need to win tomorrow night for all of this other stuff to matter.
Well, what I was just going to say is when you just went through that with the Bears being at the 2, this is pretty much what happened 2 weeks ago leading into the game at Lambeau. We're kind of in the same boat, except I think the Bears were the 1. This game with... And I don't know if last night's results would have really mattered as much. This game was going to be big anyways.
Yes.
I don't think you can undersell how big of a game this is for the Green Bay Packers. For the Bears, I think they're playing with house money. The Packers aren't playing with house money. Packers need to get the 2 seed and win the division. And the only way they're going to do that is by winning tomorrow. So they need it.
And if you need new windows, you need to call Gina Della and Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Yeah, and it might be hard to find a good bargain right now during the shopping season. Everybody out there, Jason's going to be down on Michigan Ave doing Lord knows what. And Pella, they want to make everybody's holiday brighter and clearer through those beautiful new windows. Just think about it. You're sitting out. You're looking out into your backyard. Beautiful big new windows. And rain just slopping down, getting rid of all that beautiful snow. But you can see it clear as day. Pay 0% interest for up to 24 months at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin right now. Pella's Elves, they install year-round and can finish installation in as little as a day. Hurry up. The deal ends December 31st, so schedule your free consultation today at PellaWI.com. Certain restrictions do apply. See showroom for details.
Quick follow-up for you, analyst Mark Tauscher. Jim in the YouTube comments for ESPN Milwaukee has the same thought that I had, which should trouble Jim. Is there any part of you that thinks that it would have been better for the Rams to get the number one seed because they don't really have that significant of a home field advantage?
Totally agree. We would have had 50% of the fans. That was where I was torn. But, Jim, I'm going to ask you this. Seattle has not been great at home. They've been fine. It is a loud venue. It's one of the best. But I don't see any way that I would ever want to play Sam Darnold before or Matthew Stafford before I'd want to play Sam Darnold.
That's
I just
fair.
Don't think there'd ever be a position.
Yep. I would agree.
I don't care where we're playing that at.
Can we say despite their loss that Matthew Stafford is going to win the MVP?
Yeah, it's a wrap. He's got it.
The Packers
up. Unless Jay Love runs the next three and we get the one seed, that's the only way he's getting it. I'm not going to write it off completely, but I don't love our chances.
Plus,
if somebody wants to buy our ticket right now at a decent clip, I'm selling it. I'll just say that.
Fair. The Green Bay Packers listed not one, not two, not three, four, five, six, seven, eight, or nine players as questionable for tomorrow night. They listed 10. 10 players questionable. But the Bears have some injuries as well. We'll talk about the injury report next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Says Christmas like royalty-free Christmas music. Nothing says NFL late-season football like freezing cold winds off Lake Michigan in a Saturday night game at Soldier Field until the team moves to Northwest Indiana. And the Packers have 10 players on their injury list who are questionable. Now, some of them are not even on the 53-man roster yet. Colin Oliver, who has been on PUP all season. Brenton Cox, who has had a groin injury that landed him on IR a couple games into the season. But the four big, huge, marquee names that are on this list, obviously. Josh Jacobs, the Packers running back with that knee issue that continues to be a problem for him. Zach Tom, their starting right tackle. Christian Watson, their number one wide receiver, let's be honest. And Evan Williams, the running mate for Xavier McKinney at safety. Tausch, if you get to draft the players that play in the game for you from those four, who are your first, second, third, and fourth round picks in that equation?
Ooh. Colin Oliver, number one pick. Like what I saw, I saw his highlight tape. Somebody posted it very fast off the edge. This is easy for me. It's actually not easy for me now that you Christian Watson's one, and then after that it gets tough. We need Christian Watson out there. I think everybody else, not that they're replaceable, but we've seen kind of the ramifications of their absence. It's not great. Evan Williams, we don't know. We haven't seen, so I'm going to go Evan Williams 2.
Really?
Then I'm going to go Zach Tom 3, and I'm going to go Josh Jacobs 4 on that list right now. And I know you're probably thinking, well, that's crazy. Josh Jacobs had a big game. He caught a touchdown. And no doubt, Josh Jacobs is banged up. He is not healthy, and he has given us everything. I love what he does for this team. I think he is an absolute warrior. But we've also seen that we've been able to do some things with Emmanuel Wilson. And if you need to put Chris Brooks out there, I'm not worried about getting some run from those guys. Christian Watson makes such a huge difference. I don't know anybody that's going to argue with me about that. And Evan Williams, he is a game changer. And when you want to talk about stopping the run and why we've been so good about not giving up a ton of big plays, if you remember pre-Evan Williams, there was a lot of missed tackles by our safeties that led to long touchdown runs. Matter of fact, I can remember the San Francisco, I believe McCaffrey, where we had things bottled up, a long touchdown run to kind of give them the lead in that playoff game a couple of years ago. Evan Williams is just rock solid. So for him to not be out there, I think we take a big hit. And if Chicago's going to beat us, it's going to be because they run the football and they have some explosives in that part of their game. So that's how I'm going to go. And Zach Tom, obviously, I'm going to flip Zach Tom and Josh Jacobs as I have a little extra time left on the clock. Because Chicago's pass rush isn't that great, I'm flipping. I'm going JJ3. I just have a hard time putting the O-line last just because I don't want to do that. But that's what I'm going to go with in this draft.
I don't think Evan Williams is playing. I think that feels somewhat clear. Not all questionables are created equal.
What are the chances you see him at Cheesecake Factory down there tonight?
Yeah, they don't stay at the same hotel you guys used to, which is
that's a great hotel.
Which is disappointing, and they have good ice cream in the restaurant. But I would say this: I don't think Zach Tom is playing either. I talked to Zach Tom yesterday, and he basically said, "Look, if I feel on game day the way I feel now, I'm not going to be able to go." So that means that it's either Darian Kennard, who, by the way, is also on the injured list as questionable with a neck injury, and to your point about running back, Chris Brooks is also questionable with a chest injury. So that complicates matters slightly.
Well, Jacobs is going to – you said yesterday Jacobs.
Yeah, I expect Jacobs to play. I expect Watson to play. I am less – I think it's almost certain that Evan Williams won't play, and I think the odds of Zach Tom are slightly better than they are for Evan Williams. I don't know who they're going to start. Maybe, like, if they start Jordan Morgan at right tackle, does that change in any way your feeling about the offensive line being toward the bottom of your pecking order?
No. Okay. No, I mean, I have to go with – you're talking about four really important pieces to your football team. Zach Tom obviously is one of those guys, but you got four really important pieces. And I do think that the Packers, they've found answers. It seems as if the way they've kind of rotated some guys around, and you have a first-round pick laying in the wings, ready to get back out there and prove himself, even though maybe – you know, there's been some disappointment. I don't know. I think you keep Belton at guard. I don't know if you jock even a little bit more. I would guess you just keep Belton where he's at, and then you rotate and see how that goes. So I'm not worried because we're not facing Denver. We're not facing a juggernaut of a four-down rush group. So, no, I'm not as concerned about that as maybe I should be.
It is Friday, December 19th. How long do people have to help with the virtual toy drive before you and Sarah
31st.
And AmFam close up shop?
December 31st, and we're getting close. We just want to get over the finish line. We are close to raising that $50,000 for the American Family Children's Hospital, as we've teamed up again with American Family Insurance through a virtual toy drive. All donations go towards therapeutic supplies and toys that help thousands of children and families across the country. And as I said, American Family Insurance will match every dollar donated all the way up to $50,000. That gets us to $100,000 through the end of this year. Visit amfamkids.org to donate today.
The Green and Gold game preview is next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Wildy and Tausch on 100.5 ESPN is brought to you by Everlight Solar. Save money, save the planet. Everlight Solar.
One of the weird things about this quirky schedule is that the Packers and Bears will face off in the 211th and 212th meetings in the historic rivalry in a 13-day span. And if you recall, heading into the first meeting at Lambeau Field, we had Andy and Verona.
And if you recall, it's the most wonderful. How does that song go? And if you recall,
I recall Central Park in fall.
But do you
recall? If I recall, it's the most wonderful time of the year.
No.
But do you recall
the most famous,
the most wonderful time
of all? That's a Rudolph deal.
Yeah, that's a hard one to remember because, you know, it's not especially popular. But that's okay.
Well, I've been listening to royalty-free music too long.
Do we have a royalty-free Rudolph?
I'll work on it.
Get on that. So anyway, so Andy and Verona called us before that game, and he was like, he wasn't your typical Bears fan. He wasn't, you know,
he was skeptical. He was feeling it out
and,
yet,
and he wasn't, dare I say, you know, jerk story, as some Bears fans are known to be.
Nope.
So we said, hey, call us back before the next one, because it's not that far away.
Yeah, we did.
So before we get to the Green and Gold game preview, we welcome in Andy the Bears fan, which is how he'll henceforth be known on this program. Andy the Bears fan in Verona on the Carbless Talk and Text line. This is more. Andy, good morning. How you feeling about your team heading into tomorrow night?
I had to write this down because I was at Target when I thought of this, and I don't know
that's a mistake.
I'm cautiously optimistic or hopefully pessimistic.
Okay.
So I don't know. I feel good enough to bet lunch on it with a friend. So that's about where I'm at.
Wait, so what did you write down when you were at Target? To call us?
No, I was having this internal dialogue, and it was, I don't know if I'm cautiously optimistic. The Bears have given me no reason in the almost 43 years that I've been alive that they can beat Green Bay, but they've looked good this year. And so I don't know if maybe I'm just hopefully pessimistic, you know, I don't
Andy,
have a reason to believe they'll win, but I feel kind of good.
Quick question for you. Do you feel, how much better do you feel after you saw when they came close to beating us up here? Because I felt like last time, and most Bear fans, we had Sylvie on, and it felt like most Bear fans were guarding their hearts last time, and now it feels like Bear fans believe because the game was so close and the fact that they beat. Is that where you're at?
A little bit, yeah. I talking with some friends, and, you know, I listen to Chicago Sports, and they always do the, you know, you give your predictions. And so my head, I had Green Bay winning that game 27-17. So the fact that it was a one-score game kind of gave me 2018 vibes. It felt a little bit like a moral victory, like a little bit of
a double doink,
the 20 night game. Well, it was the first game with I can't believe I'm forgetting the guy's name now. The
Matt LaFleur,
the linebacker that they got. No, back in 2018 when it was Matt Nagy's first year.
Khalil Mack?
And they had gotten Khalil Mack. And so, you know, they looked good the first half. And thank you, Jesse.
I'm shocked as well, everyone, but you're welcome.
The level of surprise in everyone's voice there was gold.
Oh, and Rodgers got hurt and came back down 20-0.
Rodgers got hurt. Yeah. He came back. And you go, all right, they lost, yep, but they looked like they could finally hang, and they couldn't. And that was kind of the vibe I got a couple weeks ago. The game didn't go, you know, they didn't show up in the first half, but they came back, they made adjustments, and they looked like they could finally hang. And so kind of going back to my predictions, my heart says Green Bay 27, Bears 24. The homer, the meatball in me says Bears 27, Green Bay 17.
All right, Andy, two quick questions before we get to our green and gold game preview without you. Number one, you've heard our buddy Cap talk about how he'd rather have Caleb Williams than Jordan Love right now. Do you agree with him?
100%. I think this will be the first time, again, in my lifetime that I can confidently say within the next year the Bears will have the better quarterback.
Wow. Okay. He's okay. And secondly, are you going to be wearing tomorrow night your Tom Waddle jersey while you watch the game?
No, that has been framed since day one. And I'm sitting here staring at it. I got it right in front of my work desk. So that's the first thing I see when I want to take a mental break from my emails. Tom Waddle with the infinite wisdom that Tom has that just says, bear down.
Just wait, Andy. I don't know if you listened to our show yesterday, but do you know that Tom Waddle thinks Rocky IV sucks? And does that at all change your view in getting rid of that jersey in your office?
That's a little upsetting to hear.
Yes!
But whenever last year I had to dress up for a Christmas work party, and it was dressed up as your favorite Christmas movie character. And I have a Rocky Balboa onesie, so that's what I wore to work, trying to convince everybody Rocky IV is the greatest Christmas movie of all time. Because
they fight on Christmas.
Ivan Drago.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Effectively,
great call.
Yeah.
Andy,
anyway,
we appreciate
Bears. Appreciate it.
We appreciate you calling in, and say hi to Lacey and the girls for me. We love you guys. All right, so time now for the green and gold game preview.
Let's take a closer look at this week's matchup. This is the Green and Gold Game Preview.
The Green Bay Packers.
Jesse, is Andy confident or not? I couldn't really tell.
Didn't sound very confident.
No, he's not.
He sounds like he's buying a small salad lunch, and just in case they lose. Like I didn't really get a sense he's overly confident about what's going on.
No, he's guarding his heart. You diagnosed. Now, again, I don't know how other Bears fans are feeling. We can check in with Jim Rutledge at some point if we want. But, look, this is the biggest game they've played at Soldier Field since when?
Their playoff game. 2018, 2019,
yeah,
whatever you
know. Yeah, that Eagle double doink game.
Yeah. The double doink.
That's a long time since you've played a really big game, so it'll be interesting to see. But Ben Johnson, he's got those guys believing. There's no question about that. All right, Jesse, what do you got?
Believe that.
Our green and gold game preview for the Green Bay Packers and Chicago Bears Saturday night at Soldier Field. Usually I start by asking you what's the big storyline. I think we all pretty obviously can see that there's a massive storyline here with winning the NFC North and playoff positioning and whatnot.
That's a good storyline.
So what I ask you is this to lead off our green and gold game preview. Do you believe Saturday night's game is this year's NFC North championship game?
Yeah, I don't believe. I'm almost fully believe that. Now, the Bears' schedule gets tight. And I don't know, Detroit, we've seen, it doesn't matter if they're eliminated from the playoffs or not. They still play gung-ho, ready to rock and roll. The Bears still have a little bit of a gauntlet left, even if they do beat us. But they'll be a game and a half up, which is a lot with only two to go. That means their margin for error is pretty big. So Green Bay wins it. It's a wrap. Chicago wins it. What's less carbs than a wrap? You got your big, heavy sandwich. Then you go with a nice wrap.
What would be like a lettuce wrap?
Yeah, it's a lettuce wrap.
Yeah.
So the Packers win, it's a nice, just a good wrap. And if the Bears win, it's a lettuce wrap.
Not to be confused with Wrap City, which we've also had today.
No, Packers win, it's Wrap City. FYI. It's over.
Okay. And what kind of wrap is it then, if it's Wrap City?
Chicken Caesar. Nice chicken Caesar. Buffalo chicken.
Buffalo chicken, yeah.
Yeah, I wish this game was the last game of the season. Instead of the third to last game of the season.
You sure need a genie right now. You got a lot of wishing. Oh, I wish they played to 25. I wish overtime never ended in the NFL.
I don't think if I had a genie, I'd use them up on those two.
That's three wishes. You're wishing you were Larry Hagman today. You wished you were jumping in that little genie bottle in that little deal with what's-her-face. What was Genie's name in it? What was her real name? You're wishing you were cuddled up down there with all the dreams and the wishes you could have, and your wishes are weird. Like, I would go with a lot bigger things, like world peace, other things. You're wishing that the Packers played the Bears at the end of the season rather than world peace and all this other stuff. You're a fascinating fellow, Wilde, Jay. Yeah, you are.
A couple things. First of all, didn't
Who
realize...
is that? What's Jeannie's name again?
Barbara Eden.
Edens, yeah.
No, just Eden.
Any relation to Wes?
No, the no. different
Any
names.
Any relation to Bucks?
No, no. I didn't realize that my wishes were binding.
Boy, they stink, huh?
Yeah, I would have used them differently.
It's not good.
Jeez, I wish they were better. Yeah, I do. Put that in your wish bucket, Jeannie.
I wish I had $1 million, volleyball played a fifth set to 25, and that the Bucks would have beat the Raptors on Thursday night.
Those are some real odd wishes that were put out there.
Did Chucky Hepburn play?
I don't know.
Check the box score. What's next?
Besides Jordan Love, which player will most impact the amount of success the Green Bay Packers have on Saturday night, Tausch?
Edgerrin Cooper. I think this needs to be an Edgerrin Cooper game. And, you know, there's been all this discussion about Micah being gone and what are we going to do and how is this going to go? And Jason, I thought, brought this when he was asking questions and, you know, glazing up on Halfley a little bit and then he's glazing back. You just, that little smirk, it's almost as if, you know what, man, not that we've had to change things, even though you did with Micah, you just feel like Coop hasn't really been unleashed. And I just get the sense he's got some stuff for Coop on Saturday. We'll see if that's accurate, but I would be surprised if you don't see Coop getting after it in the backfield and making some impact plays on Saturday night.
Great answer. Couldn't agree with you more. That said, I'm going to go with Kingsley and Igbare, who also is questionable on the injury report with a illness. But as Tausch so correctly said in the moment and then thereafter, his third down play near the goal line in the first meeting with the Bears, play the game. And so now he's going to, if he's healthy enough, if he's not, you know, throwing up and stuff, he's going to be in position to have more opportunities.
Throwing up and stuff.
I wish he was feeling better.
Jeez. He's throwing up and stuff.
Next.
Not really curious what the and stuff is. I think we can leave that to the imagination.
It does not appear. I don't know if Chucky went back down to the G League or what, but Chucky did not register any stats in last night's tilt.
That's too bad. Packers' wishes
does
come
Chucky
through.
Chucky get invited back for that fake national, the COVID national championship? Like if they do, hey, we won the whatever publication gave us that COVID championship.
ESPN.
Is he back at the Kohl Center?
Basketball Power
ESPN,
Index.
Perhaps maybe you've heard of it.
Yeah, if they do a 10-year reunion, sure, why not?
We invite him back?
He was on the team.
All right, I'm on board. Okay.
The Packers' wishes come true, and they beat the Chicago Bears on Saturday night. If blank, fill in the blank, Tausch.
Yeah, this is going to just need to be The third down percentage is everything in this game. Caleb Williams threw, you know, 57%, 54%, I think, because my prize picks didn't hit on that one. Third down needs to be better, and part of that is getting them in longer third down, not letting them get into normal third and three, third and twos. So this game is going to be a third down game. Whoever is going to be more efficient on that is who I think wins the game. So the Bears obviously did not do well in that in the first half of the last time these two teams played. Green Bay needs to take more advantage when they are stopping them and then not allowing what we saw in that second half, which is you completely got worn out because you couldn't get off the field on third down.
Tausch is right again. I agree with Tausch.
I'm gonna, you know what, Jason? I'm going to jump in that bottle with you. It's a little wider necked bottle now. I'm going to wish. I'm wishing.
Is that one of the fat guy jokes that you apparently do on a lot of the Badger radio broadcasts?
That's how LePay and I got to be top five. Fat guy jokes and then, you know, me shutting my mouth. I'm jumping in there. I want that third down I want that third down percentage to be less than 25%. That's my wish.
My wish for you. Jesse, I noticed, and maybe you just assume it now, but it does not say in the third portion of the Green and Gold game preview besides turnovers. And Jordan Love has thrown three interceptions. You could say whatever you want about what they were like, but three interceptions in the last two games. He had the one against the Bears that he bounced back beautifully from. He had the one that Patrick Surtain may be the only corner in the NFL who can make that play. And then he has the bad one where he throws behind Wicks, although Wicks did get his hand on it. The Bears' defense is fueled entirely. It's the it's like the bizarro Packers' defense. They're fueled entirely by takeaways. I mean, if they play a clean game, I don't think they lose. I think it's that simple against this Bears team. I really do. So we'll
All right, I'm gonna change my wish, Larry, Jeannie. I wish that they play a clean game and don't turn the ball over. That's what I'm gonna change my wish to.
Does that knock world peace out of the list for you, or do you still have room for that?
No, world peace is still up there. I'm not okay. Because I don't care about the 15-25 thing. That didn't bother me like it did.
So the Bucks beat the Raptors, world peace, and the Packers win the turnover margin on Saturday night.
No, I'm not. Also, Bucks Raptors isn't part of my three wishes either. And why is it three wishes?
I don't know. It's the rules. Robin Williams said.
Okay, that's fair. I just was curious. That's the
rules. Let's play some trivia, shall we? I wish we could get a reasonable caller for Wilde and Tausch trivia. Jesse,
it's gotta
what
be
is
three? It's got to be caller three for the three.
How
wishes.
Does that? That's not really fair to the streamers.
You know what? Too bad. Life's not fair.
Yeah.
15 or 25? What do we play to? caller three, apparently, for Wilde and Tausch trivia. The category is Bear Down Chicago Bears. Caller three right now. 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. Tausch will tell us about Tito's Vodka before we play.
Oh, we love Tito's Vodka, whether you're tailgating before the game, if you're watching the game live, or after a big win or a big loss, or holiday parties. You know what's great? Oh, holiday party. I don't know what to even take over there. What should I grab? Well, go grab a handle of Tito's, because you know what? They make great drinks. You can put anything in them. Not only does Tito's make great drinks, they also give back in a big way, partnering with nonprofits and doing real good in the communities across the country, especially for our four-legged friends. I kind of miss that. I miss Augie, a little cute dog being around, hanging around in the house. Hopefully we get to see Augie again soon.
Or you could just get a dog yourself.
That's a wish of mine. I wish. Next time you're raising a glass, make sure it's Tito's Handmade Vodka, distilled and bottled in Austin, Texas, crafted to be savored responsibly.
Trivia's next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Getting you ready for Pack Packers, Bears. We'll continue to do so during the 10 o'clock hour. But first, it's time for trivia presented by Cousin Subs and Iron Jock.
Wilde and Tausch Trivia is brought to you by Cousin Subs. Purchase $30 worth of Cousin Subs gift cards this month and receive a certificate for a 7.5-inch sub. And by Iron Jock, performance apparel that actually performs. No stink, just performance. And proudly Wisconsin built. Shop now at ironjock.com.
Let's welcome in our contestants. It is Andrew. We had an Andy already. Now we've got Andrew in Kenosha. Andrew, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, boys. I'm doing good. Doing good.
So if your buddies are shortening that, are they shortening it to Andy, Drew, or none of the above?
None of the above.
Okay. Andrew.
I've actually got a fun fact for you, though. It's fitting that I'm doing the Chicago trivia. I actually lived down in Chicago for 5 years. I actually was there when the Packers won the Super Bowl. That was amazing.
Because you just reveled in your joy while all your Bears fan friends were in their feelings. Is that why?
Yeah. I mean, NFC Championship game, Packers bye, Wills Northwood, shout out. And that was
good
a ton of fun. And then after the Super Bowl,
good ice cream down
literally
there.
Running up and down the streets in a driver jersey and tab honking at me and everything. It was unforgettable.
Your Tauscher jersey was in the wash. I get it. All right, let's play trivia. The category is Bear
stain.
Down Chicago.
Mustard.
Sorry about that.
Mustard stain. A little sauerkraut.
You're more of a horseradish guy, aren't you?
I like horseradish and sour.
Okay. All right, question one, Andrew, is this. Prior to his current role, Chicago Bears president Kevin Warren served as the commissioner of which college conference? Was it the Big Ten, the SEC, or the Missouri Valley?
It's good.
Big Ten.
Indeed. Tausch, big fan of his work. Question two.
Yeah, canceled seasons and then uncanceled. Hell of a job, K-Dub.
Heck of a job there, Brownie. Question two, Andrew, is this. George Halas is the winningest coach in Chicago Bears history with 318 victories.
Wow.
Mike Ditka is second with 106. With 81 career victories as the Bears head coach, who is number three on that list? Is it Dave Wannstedt, Matt Nagy, or Lovie Smith?
Got to be Lovie Smith.
It does have to be Lovie Smith, indeed.
I would agree.
They fired him.
Yeah, it's worked out well for them since. Yeah, they finally got a guy that looks like he knows what he's doing. All right, question three, Andrew, is this. The Chicago Bears' single-season record for both passing yards and passing touchdowns by a quarterback, as opposed to by a wide receiver, was set in the same season by which of these players? Is it Jay Cutler, Eric Kramer, or Rex Grossman?
It's a good question. It is.
I would have gotten it wrong.
I think I'm going to go Eric Kramer.
I would have said Jay Cutler, and I would have been wrong.
Yeah, me too.
And I don't have to use up one of my... Now I don't have to use up one of my wishes to say I wish you would have guessed Eric Kramer, because I'm already out of them according to the wish arbiter, Mark Tauscher / Barbara Eden. Andrew, you got all three right. That means you got four entries into the drawing later in the show. Enjoy the game on Saturday night, and we appreciate you, buddy. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, guys. Go Pack Go. Thank you.
That is Wilde and Tausch Trivia presented by Iron Jock and Cousin Subs. We believe in better. The 10 o'clock hour will include the weekend preview, a visit from Rob Domofsky, and the Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week. So stay tuned. We'll be back in 2 minutes. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.